Tired of struggling just for your customers to notice you? Your business needs Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. With powerful tools like email, SMS, social media, and events, you'll say the right thing at the right time to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Plus, everything's backed by Constant Contact's expert live customer support. So get going and growing with Constant Contact today. Try it free at ConstantContact.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. You know, Joe, a whole lot of people out there have called and told me how they have no television. They got rid of their television. It was because of all the filth that was on there nowadays. And they're not on the Internet. Many, especially older people, aren't on the Internet. But they get all their news from radio, and that's why we get all of those nice letters. And in fact, we're going to be in prayer tomorrow. We start at 9 o'clock in prayer. So folks, if you have a prayer request out there, you can call the church. But you know, if you call by 8 o'clock, we'll be praying for your request. But anyhow, I say that because they get their information, and we get more letters from people telling us how thankful they are that they can listen to this radio program and get the truth. They can listen to it, and we bring it to them when it's news, like what you just said, Joe, about could the United States win a war. We've been talking about that and telling people that they are using up our ammunition. Obama and Biden have done everything they can with the help of Milley and Austin to destroy our military, to literally destroy our military.
And they are doing it. They are actually doing it. We are weaker than we probably have been in
my lifetime.
Yeah, our lifetime. That's kind of what I was thinking.
All righty. So, but right now, we're going to go and hear a word from President Trump. And so the folks out there that get the news, and they haven't been able to hear him on TV. So let's let it rip.
Start by thanking the Supreme Court for its unanimous decision today. It was a very important decision. We're very well crafted, and I think it will go a long way toward bringing our country together, which our country needs. And they worked long, they worked hard, and frankly, they worked very quickly on something that will be spoken about 100 years from now and 200 years from now, extremely important. Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's the leading candidate, whether it was the leading candidate or a candidate that was well down on the totem pole. You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that. And the Supreme Court saw that very well. And I really do believe that will be a unifying factor, because while most states were thrilled to have me, there were some that didn't, and they didn't want that for political reasons. They didn't want that because of poll numbers, because the poll numbers are very good. We're beating President Biden in almost every poll. New York Times came out yesterday with a very big poll for us. So they didn't like that, and you can't do that. You can't do what they tried to do. And hopefully Colorado, as an example, will unify. I know there's tremendous support. They brought our support up very strong in Colorado, because people in Colorado thought that was a terrible thing that they did. And while we're on the subject, and another thing that will be coming up very soon will be immunity for a president, and not immunity for me, but for any president. If a president doesn't have full immunity, you really don't have a president, because nobody that is serving in that office will have the courage to make, in many cases, what would be the right decision, or it could be the wrong decision. It could be, in some cases, the wrong decision, but they have to make decisions, and they have to make them free of all terror that can be rained upon them when they leave office, or even before they leave office. And some decisions are very tough. I can tell you that as a president, that some decisions to make are very tough. I took out ISIS. And I took out some very big people from the standpoint of a different part of the world, two of the leading terrorists, probably the two leading terrorists ever that we've ever seen in this world. And those are big decisions. I don't want to be prosecuted for it. Another president wouldn't want to be prosecuted for it. It had a tremendously positive impact. It stopped everything cold. And sometimes you have to make those. They were tough decisions. Sometimes you have to make decisions like that. When you make a decision, you don't want to have your opposing party or opponent or even somebody that just thinks you're wrong bring a criminal suit against you or any kind of a suit when you leave office. I have that right now at a level that nobody's ever seen before. I have rogue prosecutors and I have rogue judges. I have judges that are out of control. And it's a very unfair thing for me, but I'm serving perhaps as a sample to others of what should not be happening. When you make good decisions, and in my case, the economy was great. We didn't go into any wars. We totally defeated ISIS. We provided the largest tax cuts in history. We provided the largest regulation cuts in history. But think of it, no wars. We beat ISIS 100% of the caliphate. And there were no wars. We did a job that was great, but maybe I wouldn't have done that. The caliphate, defeating them, was very powerful. It was going to take 4 years. It took me 4 months. But it was a very strong dictum that I gave. I said, get them. Defeat them. End it. We were fighting for 20 years against ISIS, and we did it very quickly. I don't want to be prosecuted. In that case, it worked out very well. There will be some things that perhaps don't work out so well, but I don't want to be prosecuted because I decided to do something that is very much for the good of the country and actually for the good of the world. A president shouldn't have that on his mind, and he has to have a free and clear mind when he makes very big decisions, or it's going to be nothing more than a ceremonial post. You'll be president, it'll be a wonderful thing, and you won't do anything because you don't want to be hit by your opponent or hit by somebody else, because who wants to leave office and go through what I've gone through? I'm being prosecuted by Biden, my opponent, because every one of these things, whether it's Fannie Willis or Bragg, these are local and state, but they're in total coordination with the White House. You can't do that. It shouldn't be done. I mean, a thing like that, in the case of the DA's office, they put one of the top people, maybe the second person, in the Manhattan DA's office to get Trump. They had a Hillary Clinton lawyer leave the law firm, very prestigious big law firm, leave the law firm to go into the DA's office to get Trump, Pomerantz, Mr. Pomerantz. So he goes in to become a prosecutor, worked for the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton, goes in to prosecute Donald Trump at a local level, in total coordination with the Department of Justice, meaning Biden. And then you have the Fannie Willis, or as she would say, Fani, F-A-N-I, but Fani. And she hired somebody, knew the person long before this horrible prosecution took place. And she went out and she paid him an unbelievable amount of money, more money than he ever had dreamt possible. Much more money than other people that do that for a living. He never did it at all, had no experience in it at all. And they had obviously a conflict. We don't have to go into that, but they were able to get a lot of money because it was a high-profile person. Me, I'm a very high-profile person. So they were able to pay him close to $1 million when he was not equipped to do the job, and she's not equipped to do the job, and that case should end immediately. That case is so conflicted, nobody's ever seen anything like it. And then you have deranged Jack Smith, who's a Trump hater and represents all the Trump haters, and he's going wild. He's just a wild man. He's been overturned unanimously by the Supreme Court, went after other people over the years. He's had great failure, but he's mean, he's nasty, he's unfair. And the judges on these cases, they're all Trump haters, other than we have maybe one or two that I think can be fair. But you look at New York, what's happened. I mean, these people have tremendous hatred. You can't do this to a president. And again, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about in the future. A president has to be free. A president has to be, if the president does a good job, I did. Some people would say a great job. But if the president does a good job, a president should be free and clear and frankly celebrated for having done a good job. Not indicted four times and not gone after on a civil basis, and not demanded to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in fines on something that was absolutely perfect, where there were no victims, where the financial statements were absolutely flawless, where you have disclaimer clauses. I mean, nobody's ever had a thing like this. I wasn't given a jury, and I had a clubhouse judge just come up with this number on a perfect loan and very conservative financial statements. But even at that, if you look, the disclaimer says don't rely on the financial statements in any way, shape, or form. Go out and do your own work. The bank in question had the most sophisticated lawyers in the world, frankly, a very top, one of the top law firms anywhere in the country. And they can defend themselves. What guys like Bragg and Letitia James and Fani and deranged Jack Smith, what they should be doing is fighting violent crime. And that would lead me to the end. I will say that President Biden, number one, stop weaponization. Fight your fight yourself. Don't use prosecutors and judges to go after your opponent, to try and damage your opponent so you can win an election. Our country is much bigger than that. The other thing I say to President Biden, close the borders now. This is not sustainable for our country. It's not sustainable for our cities. Our country is under siege. This is a violent thing that you've done. And many people are dying. Many, many people are dying. They die on the trip up. They die going through the border. And they die in our country. But many of the people coming up are from prisons and jails, from mental institutions and insane asylums. Many are terrorists. You see it. Many, many are terrorists. And I believe the real number that we have right now is probably closer to 15 million people. And by the time the term ends, I believe the president's term ends, I believe you'll be at close to 20 million people. That's almost larger than any state in the union. Our country, it is not sustainable. Many of these people are tough. Many of these people are bad. They come from some of the roughest countries in the world and some of the roughest prisons. We have prisons in the Congo, in Africa, coming. We have people coming from all parts of the Middle East. They're coming from Yemen, and yet you are bombing Yemen. You have to stop. You have to close the border. You have absolute authorization. You don't need Congress. I had the safest border in the history of our country, and I didn't use Congress for it. And then I built hundreds of miles of wall, and the reason I built it and how I built it was I considered it an invasion of our country, and I took the money from the military, and the Army Corps of Engineers did it with me, and we did a great job. And we had the safest border we've ever had, and now we have the most unsafe border anywhere in the world at any time. There's never been a border like this at any country, anywhere in the world. They would have fought with sticks and stones to stop the horrible situation that's occurring. Our people can't stand it, and the people coming in really can't stand it because they're dying. Many are dying on the trip up, and they're dying in the country. And also, many of the people are criminals, and they're doing tremendous harm. I call it migrant crime. It's migrant crime. It's a new category of crime. They're hurting our country horribly, and we've become a laughingstock all over the world. So I say respectfully to President Biden, you have the authorization right now. I did it. I didn't go to Congress and say, do I have the right to close? I fought Congress on it. Close the borders. You can do it right now. You have everything. Use my policies. My policies were great. Everybody said it. Use my policies. So just to finish, I have great respect for the Supreme Court, and I want to just thank them for working so quickly and so diligently and so brilliantly. And again, this is a unifying factor. Everybody now is together, and they can go after me as a politician. They can go after me with votes. But they're not going to go after me with that kind of lawsuit that takes somebody out of a race who's leading in this case, but even if the person wasn't leading. And I want to thank you all for being here. Do we have any questions?
Yes.
Mr. President, the poll numbers are massive for you going into Super Tuesday. We found that a lot of people that were agnostic to politics in general see these legal cases against you. They see what how life was back under a Trump.
Alrighty, there you go. That was the legitimate president of this United States, folks. And forget what the fake news media has said over and over, that there was no evidence of an election stolen. There was nothing but evidence of a stolen election. And the fake news media, including Fox News, helped to cover that up, or tried to cover it up. But we're not going to let them get away with it, are we, Joe?
No, we sure haven't. We have not done it. Hey, you want to hear the craziest thing I've heard all year? Listen to this. You know who John Kerry is, right? He is special presidential envoy for climate, right?
His real name was Cohen. Yeah, but go ahead.
Now, quote, people would feel better about the Ukraine war if Russia would reduce emissions. I believe that Russia has the ability to make enormous changes if it really wanted to.
How dumb.
Wouldn't you feel better about the war in Ukraine? All these people dying, all these people homeless, children starving. We've heard about the murders, the massacres, the rapes. Everybody would feel better if the Russians did more to stop global warming. I don't think I've heard anything so absurd in my entire life.
Jeez. Here's an article speaking.
Can you beat that? Can you come up with one better than that? I don't think you can.
Well, I don't know. It is. Well, you know, here to go on and tell. And Biden said he's doing what he can to slow down the immigration, and he's flying in 3,600 people a day. He's flying in into this country. From down in Panama.
Yeah, he's flying 350,000 secret. Flying in illegals from 243 cities, and they figure it's somewhere around 350,000 people, and they're doing it on that special visa thing where they, what's it called?
But nobody's supposed to know about this, see? You haven't heard a word about that.
This has been kind of kept quiet. In fact, Elon Musk came out and he's talking about in the New York Post that Biden has been doing this, and he's warning the groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9/11.
Yep.
And Musk is just, he said, it's, quote, just a matter of time before terror strikes. And then he said, this administration is both importing voters and creating a national security threat from unvented illegals. So they're really working hard to destroy America.
Yeah, I know. More and more states, more and more counties, people are putting militias in place. And that's what I think we're going to be doing. That we're working on that in our county out there. The militia is constitutional. We're going to have to end up protecting our own property. Remember what the sheriff out here who had – I played that clip here a while back, and they had met, and he said the FBI told him from Butler County that you don't count on us for help because we don't have the manpower to help you. Well, you know, they're – probably working with the other side, you know, the FBI under Chris Wray.
Well, they have to. They on the TV, they were showing a sheriff from Colorado and a sheriff from California. And they were being questioned about Chinese gangs are operating illegal marijuana farms, and they're springing up all over.
The snakeheads.
Yeah, snakehead gangs, yep. They're also the same gangs that are working with the Mexican cartels to bring the migrants in, you know. But they said they have taken over so bad that, you know, when they first sold the legalized growing marijuana, the government would control it. and they would tax it, and the state would get money from the taxes, and it would be wonderful. And now it's like, he said, there's the legal is overwhelmed by the illegal. They are selling it on the black market. It's not working out anywhere like they planned. The local sheriffs say they don't have the money, the manpower to fight these gangs. These gangs have power, backing, money. And like you were just saying, the FBI, where's the FBI? Oh, they're going after parents at school board meetings. They're going after preachers and patriots. They're looking for more January 6 people that were standing outside of the outside that day in January 6, you know, from the Congress. They're real busy with social justice and DEI and LGBTQ. They don't have time to go after Chinese gangs that are operating illegally inside the United States, that are bringing in illegal immigrants, that are 85,000 missing children that are being trafficked probably in the sex slaves, or young children working in factories all night long for far, far less than what they should be paid. The FBI just doesn't have time for that because they're fighting a political battle.
Yeah.
It's sickening. It's repulsive. It's...
Here you go. Congresswoman Bidens are the most corrupt family ever in position of power. Well, where have you heard that? You know, not, but see, I'm not sure.
I think we've mentioned that once or twice around here somewhere, right?
Between the Clintons and the Bidens, there's a lot of competition between the Clintons and the Bidens. But here... But the Bidens are more out in the open with it than the Clintons were. U.S. Representative Harriet Hageman, Republican from Wyoming, says the Biden family, Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the rest, are corrupt. No kidding. Listen to this. In fact, more corrupt than ever, than anyone in American politics ever before. I believe that this is the most corrupt family ever positioned in power in the country's history, she said in a recent interview with Cowboy State Daily. We're talking about a level of corruption that is so far beyond what we've seen in the previous political leaders. Right out, and you know, it's in-your-face corruption. They don't even try to hide it.
Right. You know, they haven't done a very good job of it.
Well, if you look at the DOJ, if you look at the what's happened with the FBI, the CIA. Her comments came shortly after she had been part of a House grilling of Hunter Biden in members' investigation into whether Joe Biden committed impeachable offenses. Oh, my gosh. Treason. He committed high treason.
No,
Hageman
no.
was chosen by her state voters in a landslide to replace the ejected Rep. Liz Cheney in the last election. Yeah, I can understand that.
Well, I can see why they wanted her. I love one of her statements. She said, quote, who pays someone? They were talking about Hunter, his excuse to everything. Well, I was on drugs, man. You know, I was out of my mind. She goes, who pays someone with these kinds of admitted raging addictions $1 million a year to be on a board in a country where you don't speak the language? You don't pay a crackhead $1 million a year to be on a board in a foreign country unless you're getting something for it. And then later on, she talked about, of course, he knew nothing about energy, anything else. But she just really, you can't be a raging crack addict and expect to make this kind of money when you're stoned out of your gourd.
Well, that's the ironic thing. Here he said he was... his corporation, he was working, but what was, and the whole Biden crime family, they say that they run their illegal business, but what is the business? What is your product? What is
They've
your service?
They've never been able to answer that question.
Right.
We were performing services. We were westernizing their business, or they always had some weird thing that makes no sense, like, what does that mean? Well, they, you know, really didn't explain it. They just repeated it. We're westernizing things, you know. It's repulsive.
Yeah, I guess. Anyhow, you were talking about the Ukraine. Here, over the past few weeks, the main news from Ukraine has suddenly become a rumor that President Zelensky intends to promptly dismiss the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of Ukraine, Valery Zaluzhny, another prominent military officer, the head of the main intelligence directorate of the Ukrainian Defense Ministry, Krylo Budanov, was named as a likely candidate to replace Zaluzhny. And despite the fact that on February 8th, 2024, the new commander-in-chief became executive and easily controlled by the office of the president. Olk Kassandra Syrisky, everyone in Ukraine agrees that his appointment is temporary. Subsequently, Krylo Budanov will become the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of Ukraine, and Syrisky's task is to take the negative impact of heavy losses, personal, and the losses of AVD Adnovka. Boy, these folks have some unusual names.
Some really hard names, yeah. And if you've never heard them pronounced, you know, phonetically, a lot of them are not, you know, aren't pronounced like they would be if you did it through phonics.
Yeah, the long and short of this article, though, Joe, is they're going to change their battle strategy, going from fighting a war to transitioning to terrorism, to become basically like Al-Qaeda. So this is the transition to, instead of, you know, fighting with tanks and out there, do more like Al-Qaeda and some of these others have done. So there you go.
Oh, I found something, I was just ranting a little while ago about the all the billions of dollars in pork. And London Daily Mail, somebody got a hold of stuff. Some of the wonderful stuff. There's a Ouduga Daba Ojibwe Language Institute in Wisconsin. I tell you, I couldn't pronounce it at all. They're going to get $5 million. Democrat Senator Tammy Baldwin, New York's Jamal Bowman clinched $1.65 million to build artists living in workspace with the environmental leaders of color. Louisiana got $1 million to sugarcane research, $1 million for electric vehicle infrastructure in Chicago, Dick Durbin. Providence, $1 million for a citywide climate assessment. Hundreds of thousands of dollars for a shark repellent study in Florida. Alaska, salmon research, millions. Goes on. There was money. Oh, the headlines, I looked, wait a minute. Yeah, it does say $1 million for LGBT bondage parties, shark repellent, homes for starving artists, and it gets worse from there. And I was just looking, they've got a long list. It just, everybody, you know, if you've got all these senators and congressmen, how many congressmen do we have? 200 and how many? If they all get $1 million for this, $1 million for that. Hey, pretty soon you're talking about a lot of money, and then
you've got around 450 congressmen.
Yeah, and then Tennessee, $6.4 million to put in some trails on a Alton Park connector. I guess they're hiking or bike trails. That's hugely important when we're totally broke. Money for opera houses. Pedestrian infrastructure in Vermont to sidewalks for so people walking. A pedestrian overpass, $7 million for economic development, Charleston County. Trails, rail trails, hiking trails, state parks, you know, fire safety in Beaumont Tech. I mean, you just stuff. Hey, this is local stuff. If you want a hiking, biking trail in your county, your state, you pay for it. It's not the federal government. you and I are now paying through our taxes for all these little things to go on in all these states, but we get to pay. It's our tax money that's paying for all these local improvements.
Joe, hang tight. We'll be back after this.
It's nuts.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. That heavenly prize, it's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. All right, we are back. I just want to remind the folks that Bringing America Back to Life conference is taking place Friday and Saturday right there at the Embassy Suites in Independence, Ohio. And Lord willing, I will be there Friday with the fellow we had on here just a little while ago. That's the Polish Patriot Pastor Artur Pawlowski. And he will be there speaking to along with a number of pro-life activists from around the country. And also, he will be in my pulpit, Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Pastor Arthur will be, Lord's willing, he will be speaking there on Sunday night at 5 p.m., Sunday evening service at 5 p.m. So, folks, we encourage you to come on out and join us at doors of the Word Baptist Church at 14781. That's 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. That's 14781 Sperry World in Newberry. For more information, you can call 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. All right, there you go. Did you know, Joe, that according to some of the Palestinian officials, Hitler had obvious reasons for the Holocaust. Of course, according to Yasser Abu Saido, an official at the Palestinian Authority chief, Mohammed Abbas's fatal action claimed that Jews had planned to take control of Germany.
Yeah, they were going to rise up from the ghettos and control the country, right?
Yep, anyhow.
It's revisionist history to the max.
Well, he says, I'm not a fan of Hitler, but when Hitler perpetrated the Holocaust, he had obvious reasons, Abu Saido then stated. They, the Jews, started to bring down Germany in terms of the economy and moral values. Hitler reacted by making the Jews go on the streets and lick the sidewalks. They know this very well, he continued. In addition, the Jewish people distorted many years in the Torah in order to make them more agreeable for them, he continued.
Yeah, more verses.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Now, actually, there were the apostate Jews. Many of those were the ones that they were financing both sides of the war. The George Soros-type Jews out there mm-hmm. were financing both sides of the war, weren't they?
Definitely. So were some of them bankers, and there were a lot of people all over the world that did that. Some of the big banks and rich families were making money off of both sides. It was sickening. But what's going on over there, really, right now, there's a battle going on. Jerusalem just called back its UN envoy because they were covering up the Hamas sex crimes. The United Nations has kind of said, you know, nothing really bad. They were trying to ignore a report on the violent sexual violence by the Hamas terrorists there on the October 7th onslaught. They sent this one envoy, Pramila Patton, and she was talking about she saw some of the stuff on tape that she couldn't sleep for a week after watching a video compilation. And yet she went and witnessed, talked to hostages, first responders, survivors, witnesses, saw some 5,000 photos, 50 hours of footage, and came back. And they said, well, the UN said there were some reasonable grounds that maybe some sex crimes were committed. And they were denying a lot of things, and they're trying to say, well, Israel has been doing horrible things. They are accusing the IDF of rape and sexual abuse. In other words, they're doing that transference. Their UN is claiming that the Israel Defense Forces are doing what Hamas did, you know, how they raped these women to death and some stuff that's too horrible to talk about on radio. Burning the babies, all this stuff. They're trying to say now that it's the Israeli IDF that's doing this stuff. And we know the United Nations is corrupt. It's anti-Israel. It's anti-West anymore. It's anti-America. So that's really what's going on. And they're letting the Islam and the Muslims from Hamas, Hezbollah, come and talk. And they make it sound like they're the only ones that know what's going on. So that's kind of a long story short. Our UN, again, is, we should throw them out of the United States. We should get out, quit funding them. All they do is cause trouble, make things worse. And I think the United Nations is one of our worst enemies, to be honest with you.
Well, it's the globalists. Look, it's coming down to this, obviously, that it's going to be this simple. It's going to be the Christians and the real Jews, the Christians and the real Jews against the rest of the world.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to end up, okay? And so, and when I say, I mean real Christians and real Jews, because the vast majority of those that profess to be Christians are not. They're, you know, like the Lord Jesus said, many will come, but few will enter. Many are called, okay? And so here, the vast majority, he tells you, the vast majority are not saved. Same thing with the Jews. We see the remnant, only one-third are going to be saved. And now, the reason for that, it's not that, you know, it's communism. The communism and the Jewish, the heathen Jews have always been a stiff-necked people. They've always been a stiff-necked people. And in Israel today, we know that the corruption in Israel is just like it is here in the United States. I mean, that's just the reality. But the Bible tells you what? God has set them aside as his inheritance. What does he tell you in Genesis chapter 12 about those that bless Israel and those that curse Israel?
Those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed, pretty much.
Right. But now we know that true Israel, there's a difference between, and most people can't understand this, between the seed of Abraham and the sons of Abraham.
Right, right.
Okay, so, you know, all of those that the seeds of Abraham are, you know, they're apostate Jews. The sons of Abraham are the true Israel. And it's the same thing here, what we have. And we know this, that God says that he, not to touch his people, and that he will judge his people, and he will punish them. And I believe what God says, don't you?
He's been faithful to his word forever. I can see no reason why he's going to change. Can you?
Well, no, and there's a whole lot of people in here, and I'm amazed at how many that are supposed to be Christian people, are turning against Israel. People that are professing Christians. And remember this, Joe. On October 6th, from the day, the very day they went in there, we told you right here on this radio program that America is going to appear to be supporting when Biden says we're going to stand with our allies. And that's going to be above the table, below the table. You're going to see he's going to be supporting the other side. And more now, you're seeing Biden backing away from Israel. And not only is he going to be backing away, what we're seeing coming is Biden will become the enemy, the Democratic Communist Party, the enemies of Israel. They're the ones you see. All of these universities you see out there, they just don't get it. You know, my wife said to me, I don't understand this. She said, when all of these universities, all of their presidents are women, what's going on there? I said, read Isaiah chapter 3, and it tells you very clearly what's going on there, okay? And, people just don't get it. You know, God is literally spelling it out. He literally spells it out for them, and they still don't get it. And now, because of that, there's a horrible, horrible, horrible price that they're going to pay. You know, I mean, it's a horrible price that they're going to pay. Because they had eyes, but they didn't see. They refused God. God says he offered them wisdom, and they refused his wisdom. They refused his counsel. So,
yeah, I saw something where Biden is undercutting right now Israel again. And he's causing them more trouble with this peace negotiation and everything. He's messing things up, so... It's going to continue to get worse. We told people he would turn against Israel, and he is. And it's going to be coming out in the open pretty soon.
Well, when it's all over and the shouting's done, the only thing that'll matter to people, everyone out there listening to me tonight, is going to end up in one or two places, heaven or hell. That's a reality. You can believe whatever you want, but when God tells you, whatever God has written, in this book, this King James Bible, this letter to us, it has been perfectly accurate. All of these prophecies have come into place so perfectly accurate. And, you know, some of these prophecies were made 4,000 years before they were fulfilled.
Right.
But here, I want to say this. You know, the God's Word, the Bible, has some questions. One question is, who is good? Do you know what it was written when he said, who is good? In Romans 3, 12, 10 and 12, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one.
No,
there is
not
none.
One. Yeah, I thought you said, when was it written? I don't know when, but yeah, no, not one of us are righteous.
There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Okay, now, who has sinned? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The eternal cost of your sin? For the wages of sin is death. People don't want to hear that today. Boy, I mean, it's like they're surprised. People that should know better.
Yeah.
For the wrath, no, Romans 1.
Don't give me the bad news. I don't want to hear anything bad. We've heard that from politicians. It's clear back to Al Gore. Don't give me any bad news. I don't want to know anything bad.
Yeah, well, now Joel Osteen is the guy that says that more than anybody. For the wrath of God has revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, here's the question. What can you do to save yourself? Oprah said she's going to save herself. George Soros says that he's going to save himself, okay? But here's what the Bible says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Okay, so that means that we do not have, there's nobody on this earth that has the ability to save themselves. None, okay? Not one person, including Mary, the mother of the Christ child. None of them had the ability. And Mary confessed that with her own lips when she referred to. Now here she says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by the law of works. Nay, but by the law of faith. So, how do we get saved then? Well, God's love has made a way. By the way, Style, how much time do I have? Okay, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So how do you do that? Well, a good way to start is to repent. You know, we were looking tonight, if we'd have been on course, we would have gone on a false repentance, and the Bible gives you examples of false repentance. And there are people out there that are sorry. They're genuinely sorry, but they're only sorry that they got caught, right?
Right. There's a big difference between being sorry for what you did and sorry you got caught. You were so stupid and shouldn't have been caught. That happens a lot in this world.
Absolutely. So what do you do to get saved? Well, you must place your complete faith in the Lord Jesus. In Romans 3:22, it says this, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, so how do you confess the Lord Jesus? How do you do that?
You better call upon Father God, because you were saved by the precious blood of the Lamb, where Jesus went to the cross and took your sins, my sins, and did a substitutionary death, paid the price that we should have paid, So you have to call upon Father, the Father, and confess that I am so sorry that my sins placed your son on that cross. He had to go and die for me, for miserable, sinful me, with that repentant heart, and ask for forgiveness of God for that, for our sins, putting his son on the cross. And then you can go to Jesus. And then you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, and that you give yourself to him. You want to become a child of the kingdom. And that's the only way you can do it. You have to, testify you're a sinner and need a Savior and be forgiven by God himself.
All right. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Right.
In other words, he made it very clear that Jesus made it very clear that they could not. You know, there were those that thought that they could keep the law, and by keeping the letter of the law, they could be saved.
Well, and Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we, you and I, might become the actual sons and daughters of the living God.
Amen. And the Bible says, therefore, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Shamed. Oh.
Sometimes do you see people that you know that they seem to be embarrassed? I've been in restaurants where one of the father had wanted to say a prayer, you know, over the dinner, and even the kids, it seemed like some of the kids were embarrassed that their father was praying in the restaurant.
I make a point, if I see people praying at a restaurant, I go over and give them a thumbs up and say, God bless, you know, it's wonderful. Keep on, you know, being good examples to the world. Around here, we have a lot of people that say their grace, not quietly. They say it out loud for the whole restaurant to hear.
Well, I do that, too.
You know, too, yeah.
Well, not maybe for the whole restaurant, because usually they're pretty noisy in there. But
yeah, but those around here, it's not too many people, you know, say it real quietly so nobody notices they're doing grace. But I'd rather say it loud enough that the tables around me know I'm saying grace.
Amen. Be thankful for, you know, and that's something, too, that I've, a lot of times I'm with people, and they if there's anything wrong at all with their food, they complain. I mean, and, you know, and I think in my whole life I've had food brought back maybe twice in my whole life, okay, because I've had times when I didn't have anything to eat at all, and I remember those days. And so I'm thankful when I have something to eat.
Now, and we know nobody's perfect. I mean, mistakes will happen. Something might be a little cold. The cook's busy, you know. And then for a while, remember with the COVID, the restaurants were hurting. You couldn't,
we
couldn't hire people. And
I know, Joe, but you know what time it is? The time
That's
right. The time is to say good night.
Good night.
God bless
you,
and
always.
You ready?
Ready.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.